got a brand new one we're going to do. And as you may or may not know, I'm not Brother Allen. But anyway, Brother Allen, we'll bring an update on him in just a moment. We want to give the deserved time to give the appropriate and the right update for him. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing an old camp meeting song this morning called Glory, Glory, Glory. And it's glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. And so we're all going to sing that together, and then we get into the days of the week. It was on a Monday when somebody touched me. It was on a Monday when somebody touched me. It was on a Monday when somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. We're going to go all the way through Sunday. And if you're not sure about the day of the week that you got saved, just pick Sunday. Pick Sunday, and when we get to each day, I want you to stand up. And this song inquires hand clapping, and so we're just going to have a meeting this morning and praise the Lord. So everybody sit. I told them there's somebody new on the throne up here this morning. But anyway, we're going to have a good meeting this morning and tonight. Got something special planned. And so, Brother David, give us an intro, brother. Help us sing.
Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, glory, somebody touch me. Must have been the hand of Monday. It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of Tuesday. It was on a Tuesday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Tuesday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Tuesday. Touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. Wednesday. It was on a Wednesday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Wednesday. It was on a Wednesday. Somebody touched me. Must have been the hand. Thursday. It was on a Thursday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Thursday. Somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Friday. It was on a Friday. Somebody.
Keep standing. Keep standing. If you can, if you can.
Hand of the Lord. It was on a Saturday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Saturday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Saturday. Somebody touched me. Must have been the hand. Sunday, it was on a Sunday, somebody touched me, it was on a Sunday.
Glory, glory, glory,
glory, glory, glory, somebody touched me, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord, huh? This morning, praise the Lord for the one who saved souls. And it was on a Tuesday when he touched me. And I praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord for you being part of our introductory song this morning, and I figured it would get the spiritual juices flowing. And so what a great, great way to open up the service this morning. We do have some things we'd like to mention this morning. And I have a recent update from Miss Terry Clayton. And as of right now, Brother Allen is not going home today. He had his surgery on Wednesday, and they were actually dismissed. He was released after surgery, and they tried to go home, but he fainted. They were trying to get something to eat, and he fainted, for those who do not know, and had to rush him back, and he's been back ever since. But his white blood count went up instead of going down, and so they're going to do another chest x-ray and check, get a urine sample, and of course more blood work today, this morning, this afternoon. And so let's remember Brother Allen. I know he's watching. I seen his little icon pop up. So Brother Allen, we love you. We're praying for you. You already know that. We're here for you. This service is dedicated to you. And so we hope that you have been blessed already from your hospital bed. And my prayer is this morning that the Lord will raise him up from his hospital bed, his sick bed, and make him better than he was before. We need Brother Allen around here. Amen?
Amen.
We need him. He's been faithful through the years. And so we know God's going to touch him, but we do lift him up. In the conclusion of the service this morning, we will have special prayer for him, but also Miss Christy Teague. She's going on Wednesday for an outpatient procedure. And so we want to, every opportunity we get on the front end of a person's surgery, whether it's outpatient or not, we like to pray for them. So we're going to do that. We'll also remember during that time, Brother Leonard in our prayers. And Ms. Dolores gave me an update this morning. And so so good to see them with us. But low blood, I jot down stuff so fast, it looks crazy, and I get up here. But anyway, low blood count, low blood pressure, ma'am, what is that?
Low blood count,
and because of that, no eye surgery. I believe I had that right. And Brother Leonard had some polyps removed and is on some very expensive medication right now. So let's remember him and Ms. Dolores. And so we'll be praying for him as well at the conclusion of the service. Ms. Shauna is with us this morning. We're excited about that. Ms. Shauna is going to do something special tonight to kick the service off. And so you'll just have to be here to know what that is. But Ms. Shauna does have some medical testing coming up very soon. So let's remember her. We went into that in detail on Wednesday night. I don't have my notes in front of me now, but let's remember her. Brother Michael wasn't able to come along with her this morning. He's at home sick, so praying for Brother Michael. Brother Harold is here. His granddaughter, we're still praying for. Did you say a moment ago that there is some... she's some better?
She came home Thursday afternoon to feeding tube. And I'll stay there until she gets a bit more weight on and what she needs on her own.
Okay.
And, but they found she had an antibody for walking pneumonia that she might have. So they haven't treated for that. But I think that's what's called.
Jeez.
So she's better. She's starting to eat those right now.
She 15? Let's remember her in prayer. Let's remember all of our young people. The home is away today. Let's remember them as they're away. Not sure about tonight, but let's remember these requests. When we pray, we're getting ready to pray. I want to make sure I'm not leaving nothing out. Yes. I had something else in my mind, and that was it. Thank you. Thank you. Let's remember Brother James. I put a post out the other day. But Brother James has been having a rough time for some time now with his breathing, but then now his heart. So Brother James needs our prayers, and Miss Shirley as well. Praying for you, Miss Shirley. Our helpmates need our prayers. Is that right, Christy? And so let's remember these things this morning. Next Sunday night, Brother Darren Townsend will be with us. This is the missionary that is getting prepared to go to the field to be with Brother Don, to serve with him for a while, and to the Lord directs as to what exactly he's to do over there. But he'll be presenting, he'll be preaching. And then the fourth Sunday will be Youth Sunday in the morning and at night. And so remember that. And then the fifth Sunday will be our fall fellowship on that night. On that night. And we'll have, of course, we'll have candy. And we'll have, are we doing a trunk or treat? We're doing a trunk or treat. And we have a special, trunk where there's going to be a puppet skit, just a puppet of some kind. And so Miss Shauna is going to use her expertise for that. Brother Jeff, Miss Sharon, they're all involved in that. I think Lily actually has a hand in that as well. So remember that. It'll be a great time on that time. We'll get the gospel out on that night somehow, some way. Because it is Sunday, and we want to have something said about the Lord on that day. So remember these things, busy month, and just a good time. Change of weather. You won't believe this. We went walking the other day, and our neighborhood is a perfect circle. And, I mean, no trouble since I've been exercising for 2 months. No trouble at all. Went walking the other day, and on the sidewalk the whole way around, there were hundreds and hundreds of wasps all over that sidewalk in the grass. And I literally was dodging and jumping and moving. My devotion was very much tested. And at one point I was in the middle of the road walking because there's wasps on every side. But I'm moving forward with my health, and ain't no wasp going to stop me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We're just so very thankful for who you are, for what you do, God. Thank you for this door of opportunity here at Calvary, Lord, to minister. And Father, I thank you for the people of Calvary who have taken us in, Lord, to be pastor some almost 5 years ago. This is coming up next January, actually, next July. And I thank you for them, Lord. I pray that their cup gets filled today, Lord, spiritually, that they're drinking from their saucers, Lord, with what we have lined up and what we've done already. Lord, we just want to be a blessing. Lord, we want to move forward. And we realize, God, that we have to put our best foot forward. We have to bring things fresh and ready. Every Sunday we have done that, but we're going to continue to do that. And so, Lord, we just lift up all of these requests, Brother Allen, Sister Christy, Teague and her upcoming appointment, Brother Leonard and Miss Dolores, Brother James and Shirley, Miss Shauna and Michael, God, and the special request actually that Miss Glenda had mentioned earlier about Josh Griffin who passed away, and needs prayer for his family, and then David Barker, who mentioned a 9-year-old girl who's been having a tough time. She's home from the hospital but still sick. God, you know about each and every problem, every situation, every circumstance. Brother Harold Dolph, his granddaughter, Lord, all of it, Lord. There's so many things, so many moving parts, Lord, within this church family with needs and cares, concerns, and even worries. Father, my family have our prayer requests too. You know all about those things. But for this moment, this morning, we need a drink. And I pray you'll give it. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray for the choir and the singing this morning.
No one knew how alone I'd been feeling and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you. You see, I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. One day, someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you came through your precious blood. I found pardon and my sin. Yes, it's true, there have been days when I failed you. Lord, you know that there's been times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. Thank God for that. And your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. You see, other friends, they've never been as close to me. You see, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow. By that, knowing you are everything I'll ever. They're all
received the Sunday morning offering this morning, and so again we'll have special prayer at the conclusion of the service, and have a couple more things to do in addition to that. And so it's just been a good Sunday so far, good Sunday morning, and looking forward to the preaching time. I have something very, very much so on the top of my heart that I want to share, so can't wait till then. All right, let's bless the offering and the gift and the giver, and I know the Lord will use it. Brother Ceylon, would you bless the offering this morning? Lily, I asked her if she would sing special this morning, so come on up. Well, the Lord sees what we don't, and He's the shepherd this morning. He's the shepherd. And Brother Allen, if you are watching, that song was dedicated to you, and I hope you enjoy that. I know we all benefited from it, and so thank you, Lily, for singing it. Appreciate the choir this morning for working with me. And so I enjoyed doing that this morning. I almost talked myself out of it yesterday. And but when something's in your heart to do, you know, you just better do it. Because you're gonna be regretful if you didn't. And thankful that you did. All right, book of Matthew. Matthew 25 this morning. Matthew 25. Again, we had our song service, and everyone was in tune to that. Those on Facebook, if you're watching, evidently you are in tune to it because you're watching on Facebook. But I just ask that you continue to stay in tune with the message. This is the most important part of the service outside of the invitation. And Matthew 25, I do want to bow for a word of prayer. And then we're going to introduce our subject matter this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. Oh God, I pray this morning for a clear head, a calm heart, as we began to lead the church down a certain path. Someone said one time, that's what preaching is. It's taking someone down a path and showing them things along the way, and there being a conclusion to the path, an ending. We do have a direction we're going this morning. There's some things, Lord, I want to show your people, and then by the help of the Lord, we will conclude our journey this morning. I love how someone stated that one time. It's very true. So God, I pray for the next few moments that you would use me. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would communicate the truth of Scripture to the hearts of your people. And Lord, I pray this morning that if there's someone here that's not saved, today will be the day of salvation for them. And if they are saved, that they would be challenged and encouraged in these last days. We love you. We thank you. We need you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The book of Matthew, chapter number 25. In just a moment, I want to read verse number 1 through 13. I don't normally read that many verses, but this morning, for context, we'll do that. But what we have this morning in these verses, in this chapter, we have a parable of 10 virgins. In fact, it's called the parable of the 10 virgins. This parable this morning is a continuation of a conversation that Jesus started with his disciples in the previous chapter. If you notice in chapter 24, in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them." So Jesus is continuing. He started a conversation here in Matthew 24, verse 1 and 2. And he is continuing this conversation with his disciples in chapter 25. After letting them know, his disciples, in this conversation that he started, after letting them know these things, Jesus tells them this parable of the 10 virgins. Now, what were some of the things that Jesus began to tell them in chapter 24? For context, I just want to give it to you. Jesus tells them what will happen at the end of the age in chapter 24. He gives them the signs that will signify that his return is near. So he begins this conversation in chapter 24, verse 1 and 2, and he begins to talk about the end of times and how things will look when his return is near. And so now, after letting them know of these things, Jesus tells them this parable of the 10 virgins. in chapter 25. What is a parable this morning? A parable is simply an earthly story that brings a heavenly meaning. That's a parable. This parable, like many others, causes a person to examine themselves. And so this morning, this is a good thing, self-examination is, because it lets us know where we're at spiritually. And if need be, we can make some spiritual adjustments. And so that's what a parable does. It brings an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And like other parables, this parable of the 10 virgins, it causes us to examine ourselves and make any needful changes. Let me just say this also about a parable, that the people of the day, many of them would not listen to the plain gospel. They would be offended. Some would not only be offended, but some would even try to cause bodily harm on Jesus. Some would just not listen to it. They would stop their ears. But and so Jesus would speak in earthly stories to slide in his heavenly meaning. And in response to that, there would be some who would get saved or give their hearts to him. Some would repent. Some would mock him. Some would even, again, stop their ears and not listen. They would just resent him, even with the parables. This parable this morning of the 10 virgins is about preparation and readiness. This morning, I just ask that you stay with me, and you are. I can see that. Just stay with me. It's about a time of preparation and readiness. And so with that said, I want us to begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I want to stop reading there, verse number 13, this morning. And by the help of the Lord, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject. That is the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins. I want to share some things that stand out to me personally, from this parable. And I want to share some observations that I made from this parable. I hope it'll be a help to you that are saved, and I hope it'll be an encouragement and a challenge. But if there's someone out there that was not able to stand as we were singing, "Glory, glory, glory," there wasn't a time or day that that you got saved, even those watching that saw what we did. I pray today that you would make the Lord of your life, that you would accept Him as your Savior, and so that you could be ready when the Lord returns. So, some observations this morning. The first observation that I make from this story is this. What's inside the lamp matters most. What's inside the lamp matters most. What's very interesting about this story is that, notice this, all 10 virgins took their lamps to meet the bridegroom. Look in verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps. That means all of them, all 10. Each one had a lamp. They all took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. That's interesting this morning. That all 10 of these virgins would go meet the bridegroom. So they were in a place of supposedly readiness. Now, I do want you to notice something is equally as interesting. If you looked at these virgins from the outside, they all would look exactly the same. You could easily assume they were all prepared to meet the bridegroom. Just think about it for a moment. You have these ten virgins, and they are all awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom. They all had a lamp, and they were all getting ready to go and meet him. Just think about their appearance. They would all look the same. They would all, I assume, they would all talk the same. I assume that even their mannerisms were the same because they were always together. And so they looked the same, they acted the same, they talked the same. They all had lamps, but here's the kicker. As you can imagine, having a lamp is not enough. With no oil in the lamp would be virtually useless. Which leads me to two questions this morning. Are you focused on what the lamp looks like on the outside? Or do you care about what's on the inside? In the Bible, oil represents the Holy Spirit. My second question is this morning, not only do you care about what the lamp looks like or what's on the inside? But my second question is, do you have the Holy Spirit within you? Romans chapter number 8, verse 9. Don't turn there. The Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So my point this morning is, if the Spirit of God does not dwell within you, then you do not belong to God. The good news is, when God saves a person, the Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence in a person's heart. And so, point number two, without the Holy Spirit, or oil, as in this parable, you are just an empty lamp. It does not matter how good a lamp may look on the outside without oil on the inside. And listen, in our church world today, there are those who look like Christians. There are those who talk like Christians. There are those who go to church faithfully and even tithe maybe. And there are those who have positions in church. They look like it. They talk like it. They act like it. But if truth be known, there was never a time and place where they accepted Jesus in their heart. And all they are is an empty lamp. An empty lamp. Do you have oil this morning in your lamp? Has there ever been a time and place in your life where you said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. You were buried on the third day. You rose again. And has there ever been a time where you've accepted that? If you have, you have oil in your lamp. If you have not, you do not have oil in your lamp. You have a lamp, and you are carrying this lamp through this life. But during tough times, you have no light to get you through. If you're not saved, you have a lamp, and you're carrying it through this life. And one day, Jesus is coming back for us. And there's going to be a cry at midnight when we least expect it. And He's going to call for His bride to come and meet the bridegroom. And unless you have oil in your lamp, you will be left behind. And I want to say it, it is very dangerous. It is detrimental. It is life-ruining. You will be here for the seven-year tribulation time. And then after that, you will burn in a place called hell forever and ever, where the worm dieth not. Allow Jesus to fill your lamp this morning. Allow Him to be the Lord of your life. Do not leave this church with just an empty lamp. So many people in our day are living life and they have empty lamps. Some are even in the churches where they look like they're saved. They may wear a suit and tie on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. They may wear Christian t-shirts during the week. They may have a bumper sticker on their tag that says, honk if you love Jesus. They may have all of those things. But if there was never a time and place, if they never accepted Christ as their Savior, if they've never been born again, if they've never been saved, they have an empty lamp. And this explains why so many so-called Christians are leaving the church. This explains why there's so many empty pews this morning. Paul says, or I think it's Titus rather, he says, they went out from us, but they were never for us. They were never a part of us. Do you have oil in your lamp this morning? If you have oil in your lamp this morning, come what may in life, come the storms in life, come the battles in life, come the pains in life, come the woes in life, whatever comes in life does not matter, because I have oil in my lamp. The Lord will be my light. He is my salvation. He is my strong tower. He is my friend. He is my Father. He is my lover. He's the best thing this morning that's ever happened to me. And if it had not been for that oil in my lamp, then where would I be this morning? Do you have oil in your lamp? Or, y'all know last week I got down. Last Sunday morning I got down here. Do you have oil in your lamp? Or are you just worried about what it looks like on the outside? Well, long as people see me and I look pretty, I don't care about what's on the inside. You know, there's so many people. There are so many people caught up in self-image in our day. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm trying to better my image. But the only reason why I'm trying to better my self-image is because what's going on the inside. I got diagnosed with diabetes. But I did something about it, and I'm not a diabetic this morning. 2 months ago. On the inside mattered to me because of diabetes. Therefore, the outside is, I like to think, is slowly getting, looking better. I have to take the right selfie. I have to have my slim side, chin looking down and all that. Do you care about what's on the inside? Or is it the outside? Is it materialism? Is it money that you care about? Is it just having the nicest of things, which is fine as long as they don't have you? Is it about popularity? Is it about ego for you? Is it about influence for you? What is it about this morning? It needs to be about the oil in the lamp. Some people are walking around this morning, filled up in our churches, even those watching on Facebook, and they're just marking off a religious duty for today. And they have no lamp. They need oil in their lamp. They need oil in their lamp. We are living in a crazy, dangerous world. We need light, church, to get through this wilderness. We were watching Christy's mom stayed the night, Friday night. And she stays the night. It's always either movie night or 2020 night. It's Marianne. It was 2020 night. And to be honest with you, I prefer 2020 over any movie. Or Dateline NBC. Or First 48. I like those kind of shows. We watched a story of a teacher. This teacher, a condensed version, this teacher was dating a man, and they met one night late in the parking lot. He wanted to talk to her. And she had a previous marriage before, divorced, and had a 3-year-old girl. That meeting that night, that 3-year-old girl was in her back seat. They met the man. The man found out that she was pregnant with his baby. He was married at the time. And he wasn't going to have it. You already know the conclusion without me telling it. What happened? It's the classic case of, I'm just going to get rid of the woman. And when I get rid of the woman, the baby's going to go. As far as murder mysteries and such. And so he shot and killed that woman in that parking lot in the head with her 3-year-old in the back seat. The case grew cold for a while. But then they got video one day of her 3-year-old running through a parking lot. Of course, her 3-year-old was rescued a few days after. But that video, and they were putting everything together, and that little girl was able to say, Mr. Robbie was with us. Mr. Robbie went boom. And when they found that little girl, she had blood all over her feet. Come to find out, long story short, the man loaded up the little girl, loaded up the dead mother, went in some sugarcane field. They had little canals of water and disposed of her body right in front of her 3-year-old. And she sat there for 2 or 3 weeks in the elements. This is Louisiana. Louisiana heat and humidity. With all of the creatures and everything, insects. And her body was so badly disposed and was already reached, started going through those stages of decomposure. I couldn't even recognize her. But she had one sandal on her left foot. And they thought that was odd. And so they went to the car and they looked in the car and there was a matching sandal. They broke the case. I said all that to say this. That's the world we live in. We live in a world where a mother wakes up and she goes to work and her car breaks down and she gets murdered. That's another case. We live in a world where you want to go to the grocery store. And all you want to do is buy some groceries and come home, and you run into trouble at the grocery store. Paul said, we're troubled on every side. And this morning, do not dare leave this church. Do not dare leave Facebook Live, audio stream on the webpage without making sure that there's oil in your lamp. Because you're going to need it through this land, this world we call the wilderness. And so this morning, what's inside the lamp matters most. Have you ever been saved before? Have you ever been saved? It does not matter how good a lamp looks on the outside. Let me hurry along. Not only that, this morning, my first observation of the 10 virgins is what's inside the lamp that matters most. But number two, second observation, waiting requires lamp maintenance. Waiting requires lamp maintenance. So the virgins were awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom. In the meantime, preparation and maintenance was priority. Number one, make sure you have oil. This was one of their responsibilities, because whenever the bridegroom would come, they had to make sure they had light burning. So in verse number 4, we see that 5 virgins made sure. Look at verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But then 5 did not take oil. Look at verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And so we see, of course, this is a picture of salvation, in my estimation. Some took oil, some did not. But the second thing that's required in maintenance is not only make sure you have oil, but make sure you're awake. Listen to this. Look at verse number 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. The 5 wise slept. The 5 unwise slept. They were all foolish in this sense, because they were slumbering and they were sleeping and not up and waiting. You say, Brother Justin, at some point you got to go to sleep. Well, this is a parable. It's principle that's to be understood here. And we know in the Bible that some of the Lord's closest slept. Peter, James, and John in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were called out of the inner circle. Out of the 12, there was a small inner circle. Those 3 were called to be with Jesus during his agony. And they slept. And he said, sleep on, the time of my time is at hand when I will be betrayed. And so they were all sleeping. You know what this is a picture of? The church age. It's a picture of our age right now. We're going through a great time of spiritual laziness, where it seems like many have gone to sleep spiritually and are in a spiritual coma. Being saved is enough for them. Well, at one time in my life, I served the Lord. But I'm not just serving. I'm not serving the Lord anymore like I used to. The question is, why not? It's because of what's plaguing a lot of people. Just spiritual laziness. A spiritual drought. This is a time where much is required of the church, because we're living in the last days of the last days. It's not going to get easier, which means we've got to get stronger. We were not born in Bible days. We were born in between the birth of the church and the departure of the church. This is going to be, and has been, and will be more of the world's most dangerous times that's ever been. Turn on the news, you see it. Democrats versus Republicans, that's always been. They're all digging out garbage on one another, and all of their agendas are publicized on TV, good and bad. All of those things, the things that are in the works. It just goes on and on. Technology, we won't get into all that this morning. But all of it is snowballing, and we are living in a time where I think a lot of Christians are just giving up the towel and waiting. Just waiting. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That's what we're in need of this morning, is light. We're talking about lamps that give light. We're talking about virgins that went to sleep. This morning, let us arise. Let us wake up from among the dead. And Christ promises he'll give us direction. Proverbs 6, verse 10 and 11. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. What Proverbs is talking about is the sleeping Christian. Those who have moved their priorities where the things on outside of the church are more important than the things on the inside of the church. And so there's a slow drift into the deep end of the pool. And because of that comes poverty. You want to know who hits poverty first spiritually? Is the soul that gets more occupied with the world than with God. You may try to hide it. You may try to act like everything's okay. But Proverbs says, a little sleep, a little folding of thy hands, a little nodding off from your spiritual situation, poverty will come. And when it does, you're going to be like a madman with a gun trying to get accomplished what you need to get accomplished. You don't understand, I got to pay my bills. You don't understand. And what it is, we hold this gun to God. God, won't you do something? I've got to pay my bills. I got a loved one in the hospital. God, where are you at? He says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Don't point your spiritual gun at God if you have not been making Him priority in your life. Do not do it. Do not do it. God will take care of those who take care of themselves. God will take care of those. You won't have to pull out a spiritual gun if you put God, if He has a preeminence in your life, if He has first place in your life, if you have oil in your lantern and you're not just a lamp. God will make sure your needs are met. Does it mean you won't go through some rivers? Does it mean you won't go through some valleys? But it does mean you're awake, you're alert, come what may. And so this morning, waiting requires lamp maintenance. I definitely want to finish my second point this morning. Listen to this, and I do not want to rush. Make sure you have oil. Make sure you're awake. But then number three, make sure you're clean. Now, there's a second part to this oil being the lamp that's only applied to Christians. That's only applied to Christians because you have oil in your lamp. And I'm about to make sense of that. Listen to this. Make sure you're clean. Look at verse number 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They trimmed their lamps. These lamps had wicks or linen. As they burned, as you can imagine, if you've ever, seen an old-fashioned torch, seen a candle. A candle is the easiest illustration. It has that wick. I was burning a candle yesterday in the house. I don't know what got into me. I started messing with candles and scents. I want to make it smell good when Christy got home and Lily. You know, did some sweeping, some cleaning, some studying, and some daydreaming. How about that? So I lit that candle, and it had its wick, and it must have burned for a couple hours. And when I started burning it, it had a full wick on it, but then it started to burn down. Now, other kind of candles, maybe a torch that has a wick or a linen cloth, sometimes there can be a burnt part of that wick that's still there while the candle's burning. I guess I should say it this way. When the candle was burning, the wick was still up, but the flame was down here. And so it was barely burning, Brother Ceylon. Here's the wick. Here's the stem. It started out burning up here, giving light to the surrounding area. After 2 hours, it was burning down here. The stem was still up. And so these virgins, they had some maintenance with their lamps. Because they knew the bridegroom was coming, and they wanted to make sure they had enough light to get through the night, they had to trim down those burnt places so it can get more fire. Does that make sense? These virgins, five of them at least, knew that they had to do some trimming in their life. The trimming gives the picture, the burnt places of a wick gives the picture of things that hinder the clear burning of our lamps. The question is tonight, what do I have to trim from my life so my light for Jesus can burn brighter? I don't care what you say, that's good preaching right there. That's just good preaching. And trust me, sitting home last night studying that, I tell you who it hit first. But as the finger goes out, there's four more coming back. We all need trimming from our life. Ain't nan one of us spiritual like we think we are. Like someone says, it don't matter how high you jump on Sunday, it's how straight you walk on Monday. And truth be told, hey, this is the place to jump high. But truth be told, a lot of us walk crooked on Monday. Not because it's on purpose, not because we want to, but we're human. Sometimes we get off course, don't we? We got to get back on. What is it in your life that is a hindrance to your flame really giving off light? The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Is God being glorified from your life? Listen, this isn't Justin preaching. This isn't me trying to be hard this morning. This is in the Bible. And I can't think of a better time and place than the day and time we live in to preach a message like this. This is just a platform to get the message out into the world. And just so happens you're here to listen to it. This morning is the best way I can put it. In a spiritual sense, we must keep an eye on the things that we allow in our life that could hinder our lamps from burning bright. Let me say this. If a person doesn't have any oil in their lamp, there's no use to trim. Number one, it's not going to burn. But number two, if it did burn, and you don't have no oil in your lamp, there's no use to trim. A lot of lost people, those who don't know Jesus, they like to clean up their bad habits. They like to do trimming in their lives, trying to take care of the outward man, or trying to take care of the inward person, but they're never successful because there's no oil in their lamp. People try to reform. People try to turn over new leaves. People try to clean up bad habits. And if you don't have any oil in your lamp, it's useless. Don't do it. You'll fail every time. Invite the Lord Jesus Christ to be in your life, in your heart, as your Lord and Savior. And then He will give you oil to burn. And He will let you know when it's time for there to be some trimming. This morning, waiting requires lamp maintenance. Then, so we have what's inside the lamp matters most. What's waiting requires lamp maintenance. But then number three, wanting oil when it's too late is my third observation. Wanting oil when it's too late is my third observation. Let's just finish this morning. In verse number 6, we see a sudden arrival of the bridegroom. Look in verse number 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And so we see a sudden arrival of the bridegroom. Number one, there was a midnight cry. The Bible says, and at midnight. He came while they all were sleeping and while five were still without oil. And so those five that went to sleep without oil, knowing this could be the night, this could be the hour, this could be the day, they still continued to sleep. So they went to sleep unprepared. And when the call went out, it was too late. The five foolish must have thought before going to sleep, I will have time tomorrow to get my lamp full of oil. But it was too late. The cry had already gone out. This morning, Jesus is coming back in the twinkling of an eye. He's coming back when we least expect it. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If someone here this morning, someone watching on Facebook is saying, well, I would get saved, but I'm just going to put it off till tomorrow. Tomorrow may not ever get here. Or you might already be saved and say, well, I will let go of this habit. I'll trim my wick and I'll be ready for Jesus tomorrow. Well, the Bible says you may not see tomorrow. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says, for yourselves know perfectly, talking to the church, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I love Malachi 3:17. Listen to this. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Where's jewels this morning? He's coming for his jewels, those that are saved. So we see there's a wanting of oil when it was too late. There was a midnight cry. Number two, there was an attempt to take oil from others. Look at verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They tried to take the oil from others. Which leads me to my next point, verse 9. There must be a personal experience of your own oil. Look at verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Listen, salvation is not handed down from grandma and grandpa. Salvation must be experienced individually. You cannot borrow oil from no one. It has to be given to you. So this morning we see that. But at some point, it'll be too late. It'll be too late at some point. When Jesus comes for the church and you experience death first, it'll be too late for some to get their oil. Don't die without oil. Number two, there was a midnight cry. There was an attempt to take oil from others. There was a personal experience of oil. But then there was sad words. Look in verse number 10. We see the door was shut. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And so there was a time when that midnight cry occurred, and they had lamps. They could see all the way into the marriage chamber. They went in. The door was shut. Again, there's coming a day when the day of grace is going to be over. This dispensation of time when the gospel is being preached will be over. Verse number 11, we see the unwise begging. Afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Verse number 12, the unwise were denied. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Sad words this morning. Very sad words. He said, I know you not. And then verse number 13, we see the truth or a sobering reality. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And so there is a reality that the bride is coming. That the bride is coming. And so we're waiting on him. We're waiting on him this morning. And there was these sad words. Very sad words. The bridegroom is coming. I'm sorry. The bridegroom is coming. We're the bride. They want to come with a song of invitation. Make their way down front. We'll give a song of invitation during this time. The church is the bride of Christ. He's the bridegroom. These virgins were the brides. They were going to meet the bridegroom. And the Bible encourages us with this parable to watch. To watch. Number one, to make sure we have oil in our lamps. But if we do, make sure our wicks are trimmed so that we can give light and that we will be ready for Him when He comes. So there's lamp maintenance required. There is the inside of the lamp that matters most. And then unfortunately, there's a wanting of oil when it's too late. There's going to be some that's going to be left behind that have heard the gospel. And when they are, and they have heard the gospel, their fate is sealed. But then there are those, and it's hard for me to imagine, that there'll be some left behind who haven't heard the gospel. And only those will have opportunity during the 7-year tribulation time to get saved. But why wait then? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, come get to know Him this morning. Father, we love You, we thank You, we praise You this morning for all things. Give liberty during this time of invitation, and we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come and pray, you come and pray. Anyone else?